In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit sanctified, Mary, I implore you, I pray you again, make your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live in it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, seed of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay. Entry number 112, September 29th, 1931, volume 29. My daughter, the creation of man was none other than an outlet of our love, so big that he had not been able to receive it all inside of him, not having the capacity to enclose within his interior an act of he who brought forth him forth to the light, whence our act remained inside and outside of him, so that it might serve him as nourishment to be able to grow before he who with so much love had created him and loved him so much. And since it was not only our love that poured forth in creating man, but all our divine qualities, hence power, goodness, wisdom, beauty, and so on poured forth. Therefore, our love was not content with loving him, but by pouring forth all our divine qualities, was leaving the celestial table always ready and at man's disposal, so that every time he wanted, he could come to seat at this celestial table to feed on our goodness, power, beauty, love, and wisdom, and thus grow before us with our same divine qualities in the pattern of our likeness. And every time he would come in our presence to take sips of our divine qualities, we were to cradle him on our knees to make him rest and make him digest what he had taken, so that he might be able again to be nourished by our divine outlets, so as to form his complete growth of goodness, of beauty, as our love desired and our volition wanted. Amen, fiat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the things we need to understand is about the qualities, the divine qualities of God, because in this passage and in many other passages, our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Picarreta that when Adam and Eve were living in that union before the fall, in union with the will of God operating in them, they were always filled with the divine qualities, which is the same as the divine attributes. What are the divine attributes? Our Lord Jesus mentions some of them here. Goodness, wisdom, power, beauty, love. And he explains to Luisa Picarreta that Adam was taken dips at every moment. Basically, with every single act that he was doing, this is what he was being filled with the qualities of God. So that's why he was growing in the likeness of God. He was being filled with beauty, love, power, goodness, everything that God is. So we see that right after the fall, he experiences the opposite. Now he experiences all the appetites of the senses. And is the opposite. In the book of Genesis, he's been told, the day you eat from that fruit, you will die. So spiritually, he died spiritually, you can say. He became spiritually blind, spiritually dead, spiritually crippled. That's why our Lord Jesus in the Gospels, he had to do all those miracles because he was restoring the whole human race. He was restoring that harmony that he lost, the harmony that he possessed. So he needed to heal that wounded man that is represented in the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is all of us. And he couldn't be fed with, Adam couldn't be fed with all this goodness, power, beauty, love, wisdom. He couldn't take these sips anymore because he experienced the opposite. He was being filled with sanctity, divine sanctity, because as our Lord mentions here, all of these were divine outlets or divine channels that serve as a way for Adam to be fed and for God to be able to fill that creature with himself. He was giving his likeness to the creatures. That's the divine participation. That's exactly what the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that Adam was doing, was receiving when he was in the grace, in the original state of holiness in grace, that God was able to share his divine life with the creatures. But he was sharing his divine life with the creature, with Adam, at every moment. Now that we have been restored through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, and now that we are able to be sanctified, filled with the grace of God, beginning in baptism, to experience that restoration in us. We receive the sacraments, we receive grace, sanctifying grace. But then we also run out of that sanctifying grace, because of sin. And even when we receive that grace, it remains in us. To give you an example, with the sacrament of the Eucharist, until the species disappear. But in the way that Adam was living, he was growing in that likeness completely at every moment. At every moment he was being fed with that goodness. But now, since we have been restored, our Lord Jesus has opened the door for us through his holy sacrifice on the cross. Now what he is offering to all of us through these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, is to be able to begin our eternal life here on earth, to begin living our eternity here while we still have this humanity. And for us, it may be a challenge because we don't see what is happening in us. We don't see that we are being fed with goodness, power, love, beauty, and all this. We don't see that our soul is expanding. We don't see that one act is more beautiful than the other and brighter than the others. But we are able to offer to God that praise, glory, honor, and adoration that is due to him. And in that way, beginning our eternal, living our eternal life here, and also to gain merit. The saints in heaven, the blessed, they see everything, something that we don't see. They see everything, but they are not able to receive any merit anymore. So what we can do, they cannot do. What they see, we cannot see. And this is what our Lord Jesus, again, he is offering through these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, that through these writings, we may begin to operate. We may learn to operate in the way we were designed or predestined to live. Have Adam not sinned? Now, this way of living, to live in union with the divine will, to have the divine will operating in us at every moment of our life, we are not born with this ability. Because remember, we are born in original sin, which is the absence of God in the creatures. So in baptism, we receive this divine indwelling of the Blessed Trinity living in us. And from there, we begin operating in this. Now that we have this divine science, our task is to be catechized, to be instructed in the science of the divine will, as Luisa Picarreta was instructed in the science of the divine will, so that we may learn to live in that way. But remember, Luisa Picarreta also, she was instructed basically in the faith by our Lord Jesus. You look at the first volumes, you see how she's been formed in the faith. And upon that foundation, then she is also being catechized by our Lord Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary, through the lessons of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the kingdom of the divine will, of how to begin operating in this way, to understand what this way of operating is all about. That's why I always recommend for people to read the lessons of the Blessed Virgin Mary, only the lessons, as a way of taking a course, letting the Blessed Virgin Mary teach you this divine science, to read only the lessons in the shortest period of time. Because if you read one lesson today and another lesson next month, you are going to forget. But if you read it in sequence and you have time to meditate and to follow, it's really a wonderful way of learning how to operate and letting the Blessed Virgin Mary teaching us how to operate in this gift. And one important thing is that in those lessons, the Blessed Virgin Mary, she never says, unite yourself to me. She says, give me your will and I will, in exchange, I will ask my son Jesus to give you his will. So one important thing about this divine science that we need to have clear also is that for us, Luisa is an instrument. Yes, she's the messenger. She's the first creature born in original sin to learn about the divine science completely. And through these writings, we learn through her example. But for us, the link is the humanity of our Lord Jesus. That's the link for all of us. That's why we call the divine will to operate in us. That's why the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 2860 tells us and explains to us that we are asking our Father to unite our will to that of his Son. Because the humanity of our Lord Jesus is the link for us. Our Lord Jesus, in his humanity, restored all the human race also through every single act. It opened the door for all of us to be able to unite ourselves to him and for those acts to be transformed. That's why also the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 521 tells us that everything that our Lord Jesus lived, it is makes it possible for us to live in him and him in us. So we begin this way of living by giving our will to the Lord and having basically no capacity. We begin with a very small capacity, as Adam began also. Remember, he was created in the union with God's will, but he was growing in at every moment always. So he began with a very small capacity, but that capacity was increasing and expanding in him at every moment. That's why our Lord Jesus also says that he couldn't give everything that he was. It was a process of every single act was an outlet, an opportunity that he was able to give to the creature, and that capacity became bigger and bigger. He was not able to receive everything at once. But before the fall, there was never a moment that he was not filled to the brim with goodness, power, beauty, sanctity, love, everything that God is, which we call the divine attributes. And our Lord Jesus mentions those here, the divine qualities. It was a sip. You remember that beautiful prayer of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary, my mother, I love you. Love me too. Give me a sip of the will of God for my soul. Give me your blessing too, that I may do all my actions under your maternal gaze. So with every act, we receive a sip of the will of God. And remember, we can do many acts simultaneously. Our heart palpitating, our eyes blinking, breathing, every movement, everything. With every movement, we acquire a new capacity. So that's why we need faith. Even though we don't see it, remember the saints, they already see that we don't see. So we need our faith to believe that what is being told to us through these writings is truth. That's why we need the foundation of our faith. And this doctrine builds upon, it really crowns all the teachings of the gospel. It crowns all the teachings of the church. That's why these writings, they have to be understood upon those teachings that we have been that we have received from our Lord Jesus, that they are deposited in the church. And the saints, they don't need faith anymore. St. Paul tells us this, that of those three gifts, faith, hope, and charity, only love is needed. They see the whole thing, but they cannot grow anymore. They cannot receive any merit anymore. So that's why I told you that what they have, we don't have. And what we have, they lost it already. So in a way, we have the better part. Because the Lord is giving us the possibility to begin living the same life that the saints live in heaven. To begin living our eternity here, while we're still in this humanity, in this body, in the human nature. So that capacity that our Lord Jesus talks about was being expanded at every moment, and it's exactly what happens with us. That's why we need to be instructed, catechized in the doctrine of the divine will, in the science of the divine will. That's one part, and the other part is to practice it. So that this is basically is what St. James tells us. What good is it to have faith and not to act? What good is it to read and not to practice? I mean, yes, reading will expand your capacity, yes. But this also, the other part is needed. So this is really, it crowns the teachings of the church. This is faith in action. Living in this way is faith in action. To live in the divine will is the most Catholic thing you can do. Why? Because Catholic means, it's a word, it's a Greek word that means universal. And this divine science is for all the human race. It's for everybody. Because in this, to live in this way, you don't need to belong to a community. You don't need to be a Franciscan, a Carmelite. You don't need to be a Benedictine. You don't need to be any others. Yes, you can, if you are one of those, you can continue doing those things, but now just call the divine will as you do all those things. But to just to give an example, to live the spirituality of Saint Benedict, you need to work and pray and basically follow all that rule to be able to say that you are living in the Benedictine life. To live in the divine will, you just need to understand this way of operating, to be instructed, catechized, as the Catholic Church tells us in number 4 of the Catechism, that to be catechized is to be instructed in the faith. So we have to be catechized, instructed in the science of the divine will to learn how to operate and then to practice. And this way of living, everybody can live in it. It's universal. That's why I say it's the most Catholic thing. Because it's universal for everybody. Those who are married, they cannot belong to the Benedictine communities or Benedictine life, because to be in those communities, you need to follow certain way of living too. But even those who are in those communities, they are able to live in this way. So again, this is the most Catholic that way of living. Let's go to the next passage if we have time.
From volume 30, January 30th, 1932. You must know that in the act of creating the creature, our Supreme Being found himself in a kind of profound ecstasy. Our love enraptured our divine being. Our love enraptured us, and our fiat placed itself in the act of working with its creative virtue. And it was in this loving ecstasy that all the graces, the gifts, the virtues, the beauties, the sanctities, and so on, were put forth from us, with which all creatures were to be endowed and enriched. Our love was not content until it put in order, outside of us, all that was to serve to all creatures and to each one, all the diversities of sanctities and the specialties of beauties and of gifts, so that each creature would be the image of her creator. These talents and riches are already at everyone's disposal, so that every creature in being born has her dowry ready, which God brought forth from himself for each one, even from the creation of man. But how many don't know it? Nor do they make use of the rights God has given them. And while they are rich, they live the life of a pauper and are so very distant from true sanctity, as if they were not brought forth by that God three times holy, who can only make creatures holy, beautiful, and happy, similar to himself. But the centuries will not be over, nor will the last day come, until all that which we brought forth in our ecstasy of love will not be taken by the creatures, because it can be said that they have taken very little of the big amount which we have put at their disposal. Fiat.
Thank you. We are so rich and we don't know. This is what our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Ricarreta, that we are so rich and we do not know that that we have such treasure. In the beginning, as our Lord Jesus says here, found himself. God found himself. In a way of, basically, he uses the word profound ecstasy. Profound ecstasy of love. If God is all-knowing, God is all beauty, how can he find himself in ecstasy with the creatures? How can he be surprised, basically, at seeing the creatures and enraptured with new love? This revelation of what our Lord Jesus is saying here, it really tells us how God is infinite, that there is always something new, that is inexhaustible, that his love is inexhaustible, that his beauty is inexhaustible. If he was in ecstasy, if he experienced ecstasy and looking at the new creatures, you can see that how much, or you can imagine, it gives you an idea of how much Adam resembled his creator, God. That he really was similar to God as much as he was able to contain at that moment. And remember, he began with very little. But that very little, it was much that God was able to be in ecstasy. Through this, we can also understand the Blessed Trinity, that God is in ecstasy of love for his son, Jesus. And how our Lord Jesus is also experienced this ecstasy of love for the Father. In the Gospel of John, you can see that our Lord Jesus expresses, and he's in love with his Father, and he talks about the Father. My Father and I, we are one. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. In my Father's, ask the Father and he will give you. He's always talking about the Father's. So through these writings, we can see also, if we look inside these writings, we can understand also, again, the teaching of the church. That we can understand the love of God, the Father for his son Jesus, and the love of our Lord Jesus for the Father. And we can also understand that third divine person, which is the Holy Spirit, that now his mission is to sanctify us, to fill us with those divine qualities and goodness, with those divine, as our Lord Jesus mentions, qualities here, with those divine attributes. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And he's happening, he's working in the church. And the Holy Spirit does this through the sacraments, but now through this doctrine, through this science, through this understanding of how to operate in the divine will, the Holy Spirit is able to do it at every moment of our life. So God the Father is able to receive what he receives from the saints in heaven. And even more because we're still in this humanity. And as long as we remain here, as long as we are in this human nature, in our humanity, we are able to offer all of this. So imagine that now you look in the book of Genesis after the fall. The book of Genesis says that God regretted. It says that, and God regretted having created man. Because he became so disfigured. And now, through this science, through this way of living, basically we can arrive to the point of enchanting God, the soul enchanting the Creator. And we can see that many of the saints, basically they, to a point, they arrive to this. We can talk about Saint Francis of Assisi. We can talk about Sister Margaret Alacoque, Luisa Picaretta herself, that now our Lord Jesus is so pleased with those acts. And when he talks about the acts down in union with his will, how those acts, they give him so much. So basically, it takes us back to the point of origin. This is the way to go back to the point of origin, because this is our divine inheritance. This is the way we were supposed to operate. And this is the way we were supposed to grow spiritually. The saints, they have to do a lot of sacrifices. They have to deprive themselves from a lot of things. And mortification. St. John of the Cross talks about mortifying your senses. A lot of the saints, they talk about mortifying yourself. And now through this divine science, we are able to advance spiritually at every moment. With a simple act of breathing, palpitating, with every movement, and of course doing all the pious things that the church teaches us, but now incorporating, calling the divine life to breathe, to palpitate, to be in us at every moment, asking the Blessed Virgin Mary to give us that sip of the will of God with every breath we take, everything. So that the work of God can be complete in each one of us by the action of the Holy Spirit. In that prayer that comes from volume 17, May 17, 1925, about the Holy Spirit that we pray at the beginning, this is what we call, we ask the Holy Spirit to hurry. We implore, we pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to make this will known to others, to all. And here in this passage, our Lord Jesus says, how many don't know? Basically, how many do not know that they are rich? And now how many they do not know about this divine science? So that's our duty, that's our mission. That should be our ministry, to make it known. I feel that after knowing this gift, I feel that if I encounter people and I do not tell them about this gift, I feel that I'm cheating them and I'm cheating God. Because this is what the Lord intended for all of us. Now it's up to them to receive it, to practice it, but at least I feel I did my part. I shared it with them by giving them a book, by talking about the divine will, by bringing these writings in some way or another, helping them, leading them to find these treasures. But that's all we can do. In the Gospel of Matthew, I think it's at the end in chapter 28, when our Lord Jesus gives the mission, yes, it's 28, 16 all the way till the end, when the Lord Jesus tells them to go and baptize all the nations. Baptize them. He says, I give you authority to baptize all of them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you all the way to the end. So many of the people who heard the disciples, many of them, they didn't convert. We can even see when our Lord Jesus was teaching, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. And some of them, they got scandalized and they left. And our Lord Jesus says to the disciples, are you going to leave too? So then we find the confession of St. Peter, to whom should we go, Lord? Only you have words of eternal life. So my point here is that even at the preaching and teaching of our Lord Jesus and the disciples, there were many that they didn't receive the message, they didn't convert. But that didn't keep them, that didn't keep our Lord from fulfilling his mission and making the kingdom known. Even though he couldn't express it in this way as he expressed it to Luisa Picaretta, he was opening the door and laying the ground, preparing the way. When he said, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he gives the parables. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the divine will. But he couldn't say the kingdom of the divine will is like this. Their eyes needed to be open. So my point is that even there will be many people that they will hear about the divine will. Some of them, they will embrace it. Others, they will disregard it or challenge it, ignore it. But that should not keep us from making known this way of living. That should not keep us from making this gift known to others. That's all that our Lord Jesus is asking from all of us, to make it known, especially to the priest, to make it known to others. Why? Because the priests, they have a way to reach a lot of people. He even in the appeals, he desires, he says, and I desire that one day this will be known and it will be spread all the way from the papacy. It's in the divine appeal. And what I think is in Luisa's appeal. When only he knows. He tells us here, for those who wonder and speculate about the end of days and the end of the world, the Lord Jesus, there is nothing to worry about that, because our Lord Jesus here, he makes a reference here. But the centuries will not be over. Nor will the last day come until all that which we brought forth in our ecstasy of love will not be taken by the creatures. Because it can be said that they have taken very little of the big amount which we have put at their disposals. So those who worry about the end of the world, don't worry about it. You're wasting your time. Believe what our Lord Jesus says. Focus on taking all of that ecstasy of love that our Lord Jesus is talking about here. Because everything now is at our disposal. That's the other thing, that to those who much are given and entrusted, much will be demanded of them. This is a little bit scary too. Because we know this divine science. And at least we have to practice it, to do the best to read it, to understand it, and then to teach it to others. So just lead others, not to force them, because the doctrine is not to be forced. The disciples, they never force the doctrine. The Lord Jesus didn't say, go and force everything I have told you. No, he says, go and baptize them. Go and teach them, and I will remain with you till the end of the days. So he will remain with us and in every single act until our last act. Can you imagine that? That's so beautiful, that our Lord will remain with us even to the last act of our humanity. Our last breath. Hopefully each one of us at the end of our life, we can at least have that grace to complete our final race in union with the divine will. So that's what our Lord Jesus wants for all of us. That's what our Lord is offering to all of us through these writings. That's how we grow now in sanctity, in love, in beauty, and we become similar to God. This is the point, that he wants us similar to him, similar to himself. Because the divine will is able to make us holy, to fill us with all that God is, with all his divine qualities or attributes. And in doing that, making us similar to him. That's what our Lord wants. That's what Luisa Picaretta was able to learn through his writings. And for us, she's an example that it is possible for a creature born in original sin to arrive to the possession of the divine will operating in us as it was operating in the first men, Adam and woman, Eve. So that's what we mean when we say that he wants to bring us back to the point of origin. Into that union. Because we live in this period after the fall, we live in this body that has been affected by the fall. So yes, we are going to experience pain, suffering, circumstances, but that can be for our advantage if we know how to use it and unite it. He will transform it. That's one part that we still have to deal with. Something that the saints, they don't have to deal with that anymore. But remember, they cannot get more merit. So he can use that to our advantage. Every little headache, every little pinch, every little cramp, anything, he's able to transform it and becomes an opportunity and an occasion for him to outpour all his love in you, in all of us, in our souls. So this is what we have through these writings, and this is what we are called to live here and now. Let us ask our Lord Jesus to give us that grace to be able to operate with his will in us at every moment. Let's go to the letters now.